This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to the Podglomerate.
For everything that you were too afraid to ask at home, too embarrassed to ask at school, or was just too hard to ask your partner, welcome to the Sex Wrap.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Sex Wrap. You're here with Spring and Andrew, and we are in this like media frenzy this month. I'm so excited to keep it going.
I mean, I love talking about media, though I think I'm happier when I'm not a part of it. It's this weird thing where it's all around us and it's hard to get away from. And like, maybe we should do an episode. Somebody ask us an episode about all the good things that come from the media, because we've gone through our thousands of backlog of questions from all of you and sort of pulled together a bunch of these issues. And most of the time, the media is being portrayed pretty negatively. And we're going to continue in some of those negative.
We have so much to say about how bad it is. We have a whole month's worth of episodes about this. It's crazy.
Yeah. So start submitting some real happy questions like, how great is love? And why does orgasm feel nice? And we'd love to answer those too. But for those of you who don't know, welcome to the Sex Wrap. You're here with Spring and Andrew, like Spring said, and we answer your questions. Any question at all that you ask about relationships or about sex or about sexual health or STDs or STIs or even love or romance, if you want to go that direction, like, we will chat with you the best possible modern day evidence that we can, because we want the world to be a safer, sexier place with all of you.
And we love, using all of our experience, all of our research, all of our years and years of teaching to help answer these questions. And then we also go to the research and see, you know, what's currently being done in that area so that we are bringing you the most up to date, most evidence-based information.
I mean, it is really hard to find sex information on the internet. Easy to find sex on the internet. Hard to find like really solid sex information. It's really weird. So like, we're sort of your sex filter on the internet. You can swipe right on, I don't know. I don't use filters either because filters are bad, but we'll talk about those in a later episode. All right. So what are we talking about today, Spring?
We're talking about these stereotypes that we see for LGBTQ people on TV, on movies, on ads, and what in the heck are they doing? That's the question. What in the heck is the media doing to LGBTQ people?
And there are a lot of different kinds of media out there. So I think, you know, as we're going through the episode, we'll talk about advertisements, we'll talk about cable television, and then we'll talk about some of those paid for subscription platforms, because it does look a little bit different across those. But for me, I mean, like, I'm a gay person, and whenever I see myself being portrayed on the internet, like, it is not a space that makes me feel happy, healthy, safe, and secure. It's a space that makes me say, is that how the world sees me? Is that what I look like? Is that what I sound like? I know I sound that way. I have to listen to my voice every week when we do these episodes. Spring doesn't. I do. I suffer through it. Spring, what are some of the stereotypes that you see about LGBT people on the internet?
I mean, I'm a bisexual. Pansexual.
We don't see you at all on the internet.
And, you know, I think that bisexual people are usually portrayed as people that have bright pink hair. So I guess I do see myself on.
I mean, So sure, she sees herself out on the internet, but I mean, if we're talking about bisexuals, like I can't even think of, you know, more than one or two shows over the last decade, good shows, like shows worth watching that focused on a bisexual character, not just a bisexual character in the background who's dating someone of the other sex, who's, you know, just like that stereotype of a girl with pink hair who's dating a man who's who happens to be bisexual. Like it's so rare that we see any bisexual character at all. And those stereotypes most of the time are like, it's a woman, right? We don't see bisexual men at all. And if it is a woman, she's probably going to be dating a man and just, you know, reference her bisexual college years or her bisexual past.
Yeah. And I think it's often portrayed as a phase. Like I did do this in the past and now I'm heterosexual. That's like a very common representation of bisexual women, especially in media, for sure.
Right. And there are no real, you know, depictions of bisexual women. Now, there aren't none, right? There are definitely shows that have all different sexualities in them. But those aren't the ones that you're going to see on network television. And most of the time, those aren't the ones that are going to be, you know, you log into Netflix and these are the top 10 shows in the United States you must watch, or Hulu or any of the other for pay. Like, sure. And I would almost call them fringe shows. You know, like a company is making a show for LGBTQ people that talks about their lives a little bit. This episode, like, we'll talk about that a little bit. We're mostly talking about those bigger media movies and television shows, not like sort of the ones that are like indie on the side.
Because the reason we're talking about this is we're talking about, you know, how this media portrayal is affecting the general acceptance in our culture more broadly. So we really want to talk about the shows that have the biggest reach. And we really want to talk about the shows, you know, that people in middle America are watching, right? So it's not just the shows that are really popular in your age range or in the area that you're living in, but these shows that are popular across the country, even, you know, across around the world, and looking at those shows because those representations are what is being fed more generally to the public. And that's then what the stereotypes and what the expectations then are being reflected in our society.
I mean, so I want to take a step back and say thank you to all of the media ever that started putting any gay characters at all on any television show, movie, or advertisement. I remember when I was a kid, there were none. There were literally zero out gay people on television. And then like there are a couple here or there, and then all of a sudden Will and Grace popped out and there was like gay characters on a I'm aging myself. But I mean, like Spring said, like they do change society's perceptions. And I think one of the reasons why LGBT people have made pretty radically fast advances in terms of social justice and getting rights is because media portrayal has made, you know, most people not afraid, right? Like they see a show with a gay person, and even if it's a gay person that's a stereotype, they're sort of like, oh, well, you know, he's like Will or Grace or the L word or Q is folk or like all of these other sort of baseline shows. I was reading some statistics about it. Something like 80% of shows have a gay character now.
Wow.
It's like a huge number of shows have a gay. Now, that's where the problem with stereotyping comes in, though, right? So a ton of shows have gay characters. What do we know about those gay characters and what happens to them on the show? Are they fully fleshed out main characters? Are they shopping accessories that hang out with Carrie as she walks through Sex and the City and, you know, goes to straight bars and hangs out with her in straight spaces? And, you know, like, when we look at the people, the gay people who are represented in those shows, most of the time, like I see a lot of issues with them. I mean, I'm happy they're there. I'm glad that there's gay people being shown. I think it really has helped make progress for LGBT people in the United States. But I think it could be a lot better for us today. I mean, I can just dive right in with all of my problems and some of the outcomes, too. But we should probably talk a little bit more about like more broadly about what's going on, like, you know, that analysis, the issue going with it.
Well, I think, you know, it's really helpful to first talk about stereotypes, like what these stereotypes are, what stereotypes are being shown in the media, and why that's a problem. I would love to start there. What do you think about that?
So I am flamboyant. I have a limp wrist. I wear tight clothes. And let's see, I'm not good with money. I don't have kids. I'm promiscuous.
You're definitely hooking up at least 3 times a day.
I mean, with whomever walks by is totally fine with me. I'm catty. I only have one body. Like, and gays only have one body type in the media. I'm super muscly. I have abs and pecs and perfect everything. I drink a lot. I go to the bars all the time. I probably have substance use and drugs. I might have HIV. If we go back in the 80s and 90s, I definitely have HIV. What are some other stereotypes about me in the media? Like, it just goes on and on, though. Like, and almost every one of them is, oh, I'm super into fashion. I like to sing in musical theater. I'm friends with the popular girls. I'm probably a little bit mean. Like, instead of me having a personality on a show, I'm probably mean. Like, meanness is my personality. Like, snappy comebacks. I don't know. Any other gay stereotypes I'm missing?
I don't know. That was quite a whirlwind. I think that you certainly got a lot of the gay stereotypes. And I mean, I think that we see, we see similar stereotypes, not the same ones, but the similar style of really presenting a one style of the way that someone can be for lesbian. We see even less for bisexual. We see less and less bisexuals even being presented in the media, but we definitely are only showing stereotypes. We're only showing this one version of what somebody might be, what some qualities they might have. And the stereotypes are these things that culture has decided we associate with different sexual orientations or gender identities. And then when these are the only things that are represented, that becomes the only thing that is accepted. If we're getting towards acceptance, right? And as we get towards acceptance, then that is the one way that people are expected to be. And then when people in real life do not conform to these stereotypes, then they're kind of going through this like secondary version of having to come out, because it's like people around them won't believe, like, oh, you can't be gay because you don't have great fashion or because you don't talk with a certain affect in your voice, or you don't, you don't have this like way of being very sexually promiscuous and talking about it all the time, right?
I have a really good story about this, right?
Okay, great.
I have loved drag way before RuPaul's Drag Race came out. I was at drag shows with Spring, like before RuPaul's Drag Race was on the air. Like, RuPaul was around. Like, she's like 6,000 years old and has been doing shows since like the Stone Age. And I've always liked drag, but I like lots of different kinds and like divisive and weird and political. And now all of these other people like drag too, but it only comes from the context of RuPaul's Drag Race. And someone will want to talk to me about drag, but the only drag they'll want to talk to me about is only from that one context. But I have a lot of friends who aren't into drag, and now, like, if we're in a conversation and one of them's like, oh yeah, it's not really my thing, I prefer, you know, paddle boarding or some outdoor sport thing. I don't know who likes that, but if you do, I'm judging you. No. This whole drag thing, and they'll catch a lot of flack for it. Like, I can't believe you don't like so and so, or you don't like Drag Race. And but it's almost become like in society over the last 10 years, like 100% of gay men are expected to live and breathe RuPaul's Drag Race and totally like only care about that. With it, they're only supposed to care about those queens and know about those queens and not understand that drag is the reason why gay culture exists at all in the United States. And drag is the reason why we have gay rights in the United States, and that there's a lot of other important stuff that goes on inside of that context. It's just been really interesting watching, like, the media completely change the way that the world views drag and then attribute that change in view. And the drag that you see on television is, you know, really sterilized, like one kind of viewpoint, really femme, curvy queen kind of realness. There we go. but I mean, that's become the accepted standard. And now gay men are expected to be part of that standard. I don't think bisexuals are part of that story yet. Are you? Are you excluded from it?
Let me speak for every bisexual and for all representation of bisexuals. No, I don't think that bisexuals are included in the drag phenomenon or in the like even viewing of it or in the expectations that we know about it. But I mean, I think that what you're talking about is, you know, the stereotype of what drag is and then what people think it is, and then they're not understanding the full history and full complexity of it. And that's what we're seeing with characters, and that's what we're seeing with personalities, and that's what we're seeing with then how people are treated in society. So then people become, if you aren't the stereotype, if you are the stereotype, first of all, then if you're any part of the stereotype, all the other stereotype labels automatically are applied to you. And if you don't fit the stereotype in any way, then people are like so confused, and then they will make you come out to them over and over because they can't understand how you could possibly be gay or be bisexual or be whatever, or be lesbian or be transgender if you're not fitting the stereotype that they assume that that looks like, right? So it causes a lot of problems, but the problem that I'm kind of talking about right now is this, like, this very difficult process for people who identify in any of these ways and how they are fitting into society and how hard that can be it can be so hard to live up to a stereotype and so hard not to live up to the stereotype also.
And that's what the media is doing, right? It's creating these stereotypes where you can't exist outside of them, because if you do, there's something wrong with you. But then living up to the stereotypes is really hard as well, and not in a good, sexy, hard way. All right. So we need to take a short break. When we get back, we'll keep talking about some of these issues with the media and gay stereotypes. Thanks for listening, everyone. All right. Welcome back to the Sex Wrap. Today we're talking about issues with the media and portrayals of lesbian, gay, and bisexual people. We really haven't talked about people of trans experience yet. They weren't really shown at all until, you know, just a few years ago, and we don't have a ton of examples. But everything that we've been talking about with gay men fits pretty well with people of trans experience. Most of the time, if there's a trans person on television, they're beautiful, they're gorgeous, they're a model, they have like beautiful hair, they've had tons of plastic, like they just look like the perfect sex that they are. They just look like it. And it causes a lot of problems for people of trans experience as well, because that process is long, it's involved. Often the results that we see on television are not the results of people's own lived experience when they are trans. Do you have $60,000 or $200,000 for surgeries? And do you have a makeup artist and all of the other pieces that go with it? And I think it sets up some really harsh expectations for young people as well. Like, I imagined if I was a young trans man or trans woman and I saw Laverne Cox, I'd be like, hell yeah, I know what I want to look like when I grow up. I have this stereotype that's been put out by the media. And then my journey is probably not going to be that level of perfection that we see. I think it's pretty risky, but we don't have a ton of trans awareness.
And first of all, not everyone wants to look like these versions that were being portrayed either. So like some of it is, you know, how do I want my expression to look like? And then it's also, what do I have the funds, the insurance, the help that to get me into the way that I might want to look? And that's two totally different issues, but that are very complex in that representation.
But then society on the other side, right? So for non-trans people, people who are not trans, they only see that one kind. And when someone doesn't look like that, there's really harsh judgments that are made about what that person looks like. Like there's recently the person on Jeopardy who has the second highest number of wins ever. And because she doesn't look like a model, people were really, really harsh, like brilliant, you know, only behind Scott Jennings. But she doesn't have the look that we've been trained, right? The media has trained us that people of trans experience look a specific way. And that's where it gets dangerous. It's dangerous for gay men in a lot of similar kind of ways, where all of the gay men that we see on television, or almost all of them, have really muscular bodies. They're really thin. They have full heads of hair. Like, they're really statuesque, beautiful bodies. And there's a lot of expectations that gay men are supposed to look like that all the time. And it's not a healthy body type unless, you know, you have a personal trainer and you have a personal chef and you live in a low stress environment where you can work out 3 or 4 hours a week, 3 or 4 days a week. Like, that's what I try to get to. 3 or 4 hours
a day.
And the same thing is, like, so we see these stereotypes negatively impact the perceptions of non-LGBT people, but they also really kind of earworm in. They get into the heads of, like, LGBT people, queer people, and can make them feel really negative about themselves or have depression and anxiety or feel like they're not good enough because they're not standing up. And at least with heterosexual people, right, there are tens of thousands of examples that we see in the media, and they very much conform to a few body types. But if you are looking for someone who's like you as a heterosexual, there are shows with more body types and more attitudes and more backgrounds for LGBT people, because the number of them on the media, or that the media portrays, is so small, right? Like, the influence they have is so much higher. So people often ask why gay people have, like, a lisp, or why they're really inflected. There's this phenomenon called minstrelization. It's a fancy word for, like, when you're a kid and you see someone who you think is like you, you start imitating what they sound like. And since there are so few gay people on television who don't have a super inflective voice, or who don't have a lisp, or who don't have, like, that nasally rasp, like, you see them and you're like, oh, I'm like that. And then you start doing it as well. And it's sort of like self-perpetuating stereotypes of LGBT people, because we see so few examples that we start imitating what those look like and sound like.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, another thing that's interesting to talk about. So we're talking about, you know, what these characters look like and sound like and act like on these shows and these stereotypes. But another thing that's really important to consider is how much of that character is really central to the plot, and how much the show is actually addressing queer issues and issues that are important to these characters, right? And so, is it just that this character is, like, a fringe to the plot line, or are they just kind of, like, being there as this, like, token gay character, or are they actually having a plot line that is about them and about queer issues and about things that they're facing and things that they're going through? And that's where we see, like, some real importance. And that's where we see, like, that's what we want to see in these shows, right? We want to see characters that have a real stake in their lives being portrayed.
I mean, right. We can go back to Sex and the City, the show that is problematic, right, by today's standards, but there were gay characters. If you remove Carrie's friend Stanford and, oh, what is he? He's like a wedding planner, Charlotte's gay friend, from the entire series, nothing changes. Like, they're there almost as a joke in and of themselves. And those two characters are complete caricatures and stereotypes. And when we look at most shows that have gay people in them, it's like that. You could completely remove that character from the show, nothing changes. Like, they're just not important overall for the plot. They're just that token character who's in the show. Now, I'm happy. Put as many token gays as you can into every single show, because I just want there to be such a preponderance of them that you can't watch 30 minutes of television without at least hearing a couple nasal gay twangs. I'm fine with that. But if we want to make the situation better for gay people, right, all queer people, we need to have better realistic portrayals of them in the media. We need to really move away from this gay men are promiscuous. Can I talk about a couple things that really bother me about these stereotypes, like very personal stories?
I'm sorry, are you waiting for me to answer that?
Okay, good. So, right. Because there's this perception that gay men are really promiscuous and slutty and having sex with everybody and full of diseases, it negatively impacts my life. I've been in a long-term relationship. But when I talk to any doctor ever, doesn't matter what kind, the first set of questions they ask me is about my sexual history, my sexual partners, my sexual health, my sexual past. And I'm like, I'm here because, like, I have a headache, or I'm here because something's wrong. Like, this has nothing to do with the questions. I get very, very surly about it. But it's worse than that, right? These perceptions are prevalent in all parts of our society, and our lawmakers have them as well. Like, gay men can't give blood. unless they're completely celibate for X number of days or months, because the lawmakers are saying like, well, you probably have AIDS and you shouldn't be allowed to give blood, even though the Red Cross and all of the other bodies that are in charge of like blood donations are saying like, this is absurd. This is ridiculous. Like, please let gay men give blood. We need more blood. We need your blood. Sounds like a vampire. But I can't donate blood, right? Even though I'm in a long-term relationship. And on top of that, what's crazy is that, you know, gay men are no longer the highest risk group for HIV infections in many parts of the world. Heterosexual transmission has now outpaced that. And then in many other minority groups, like, it's higher. But because of this perception, I still can't give blood. Like, people just assume that my blood is dirty because I'm gay. And there are laws that are being made about this by our Congress people, right? So like actual laws. And it gets worse. In the United States, there's all of these other bills that are being put forward to really hurt trans kids in the United States. And these laws are based on these stereotypes that trans people are aggressive and icky and ooey and cheaters, because that's how they've been portrayed in the media over the past 50 years. And all of a sudden, trans kids can't play games, or they can't go to a bathroom. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, the kind of bills that are being passed because of these stereotypes. And that's the problem for me when I look at all these stereotypes, is that they have real world negative implications for my life and for lives of people of trans experience and for women who are lesbian, like the whole group of us, anybody who's under that queer umbrella. These stereotypes hurt us. And there are laws going forward in almost every state in the United States that are meant to make our lives worse, because people believe these stereotypes. They don't believe that we're actually fully fleshed, real human beings.
Right. So when we're talking about these stereotypes, the focus becomes only on sexual orientation and not on the full person, not on their full experience, their full lives, all the things that are impacted. And so when we are focusing only on someone's sexual activities, only on the fact that this is some type of behavior that they're engaging in some way, then we are really reducing that person to that. And that's what Andrew was talking about when he said, you know, his doctor is only concerned about his sexual activity because it must be that he fits a certain stereotype, right? And so we really need to be able to understand full complex people and the diversity of our experiences. And when we talk about needing to show these queer storylines, these queer issues and the stories, it is bringing to light all of these complexities and all of these like diverse experiences of the individuals that make up this rainbow, right? And we don't have that right now. And that's what we're saying is such a problem, because it is being reflected in our society. It's being reflected back out. And the media is reflecting this to show these very, very one-dimensional characters. Are they two-dimensional? They're not three-dimensional.
They're two-dimensional. Two-dimensional means like flat on a screen or flat in an advertisement.
And so then we are seeing like how this really impacts people in the real world. And it's these policies, it's the treatment by people around you. It is, you know, like also policies at like a workplace level, at a school level. And it keeps resonating through all parts of our lives. So it's not just like how one person treats you. It's really big. It's so much bigger than that. And that's why this is something we're talking about today, because it has huge importance.
And I mean, right. And we're talking about the United States. This is a global issue as well. To all of our friends in Eastern Europe, we know like that you've been demonized. Like we can look at how like the media paints a portrait of gay people as something bad. And then everything that happens in a society, people will blame on it. We're not going to get too political today, but there's the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and the Russian Orthodox Church oligarch dude is saying, well, it's because you had gay pride that it's okay for Russia to come and kill your citizens. Like, there are real world negative outcomes when we start talking about what these are. So what do we do about it? I think that's sort of the rough part, but we need to take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk about some quick solutions. There's no such thing as a quick solution, but we'll talk about some things that we can do. Be right back. All right, everybody. This is Andrew, your favorite gay stereotype, and we're talking with Spring, the bisexual epitome of all things bisexual, with pink hair, today on The Sex Wrap. Unraveling some of the issues with these stereotypes that we see in the media about LGBTQ people. We started out kind of light talking about like, oh, they exist and we know that they're there and sometimes they're funny. And then we've been kind of heavy for the last, 10 plus minutes talking about how these things really do hurt and harm people. So what do we do about it, Spring? Do we have a quick step? What do we do?
Well, there's not a quick fix, of course, but, one thing we want to do is, use our dollars wisely, because we're in this capitalist society that is really run by money in so many ways. And so, I would say, first of all, when you're choosing the things that you're watching and when you're choosing the subscriptions that you're paying for, start to make decisions based on these things that are important to you. And, if the service that you're watching shows on is not producing content that is acceptable to you, then spend your money somewhere else where there are things that you want to watch that are showing really full characters and really better versions of complex LGBTQ people. And I think it's we have some data that's showing streaming services are doing this better than network television. And you can also choose, to not see movies that are not portraying LGBTQ people in this way. And I think that's one way that we can start to demonstrate that. It's that feels like something that is easy to do in a way, but again, it's not that easy, because it's okay, I have to do a little research and I have to then put my money where my mouth is in actually making these decisions. But I think that if enough people do that, then that has power behind it.
Absolutely. Just use your dollars, be really conscientious about where you're spending them and what's being the content that you're consuming. The second part is it's okay if you love a show with a character that has gay stereotypes. That's okay, because in your head, you've told yourself after listening to this episode, that's just a stereotype. I'm enjoying the show for what it is, but that's not how people actually act. Because the characters that we see on almost all media are not real human beings. And for straight people, we usually don't say every character is like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or whatever show that you're watching. That's another really old reference. I need to refresh that. but putting a little stop in your head, or maybe opening a conversation about it. If you see someone post a meme about a show with a gay character and it's funny, you should be like, oh, that is really funny. That's not what they're actually like. Be really honest about it. And for yourself as well, just put a little stop in your head, like a 2-second stop where you're like, All right. I did enjoy that show. That's not a real person. That's not really how gay people act. That's really what it is. It's training your brain to say this is a stereotype, and I don't want to live in a world where I let stereotypes change the way I see other people negatively.
And when we're talking about communication, which we always talk about, it's also important to, after watching a movie or TV show, if you're watching with someone else, to have that conversation with them, to talk about how the LGBTQ people in that instance were portrayed, and to talk about why it's problematic, because I can assure you there was at least one part of it that was problematic, right? So then having that discussion and highlighting that for other people in your circle starts to broaden that awareness out.
Yeah. So communicate, put a stop in your head, and then choose where you spend your very precious dollars in today's world. Yeah. And streaming service, when we're talking about that, we're talking about Amazon streaming and Apple streaming and Netflix streaming. And oh my gosh, there's a bajillion streamings right now. They just keep coming. That's what she said. All right. So
And I mean, I'm going to say one other thing you can do with dollars is to, and we'll put a few links in the show notes, is to donate to organizations that are helping create policies and bills and fight the policies and bills that are not helpful. So that if you want to donate to any of those, if you have any spare funds, that's really important as well.
You know what we haven't talked about yet? Social media. Just kidding, everybody. Next week, we're going to be talking about various issues with the media, as in social media, a place where you probably see us and hear us quite frequently. So we're going to be doing a little bit of that self-critique, that little stop and some communication about where we stand. But thank you for listening today. If you have any questions or any follow-up about this episode, or any other questions about sex or sexual health or intimacy or romance or love, or we'll really talk to you about anything at all. We would love to hear from you. You can call us at 413-IRAPIT. That's rap with a W. You can send us an email. We're thesexrap@gmail.com. Once again, that's rap with a W. And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Sex Rap. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
For everything that you were too afraid to ask at home, too embarrassed to ask at school, or just too...
Music for this episode provided by the ever elusive and mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder.
The Podglomerate. A Sonic Universe.